This is Audible.
Simon & Schuster Audio presents As Brave As You by Jason Reynolds. Read by Guy Lockhart. For my grandfather, Brooke Reynolds, and my dear friend, Brooke Stevenson, you both brought so much light to the world. Number 437. The stupidest name for a sport is football. Why isn't it called tackle ball? Real football is soccer. Soccer is the second stupidest name for a sport, unless it was the name for female boxing. But female boxing is already called boxing, even though boxing should be the sport to see who can pack up stuff like clothes the fastest. Why isn't that a sport? If it was a sport, Mob would be a world champion boxer. Number 438. Another weird word is season, like winter, spring, summer, fall. But why does it also mean adding flavor to food? That makes no sense, but I wonder what it would be like if I could season my food with the seasons. Like, if you sprinkled some winter on peas, they probably taste like cold peas. But if you sprinkled some summer on them, maybe they taste like pizza or something. 1. Number 460. Poop. Poop is stupid. Stupid poop. Stupid poop it. Pupidity. Is pupidity a word? Genie stood a few feet away from Samantha's shabby old doghouse, scribbling a mess of words in his notebook. His older brother Ernie was luring the mutt to a cleaner spot in the yard with a big pot of leftover chicken, bacon, grits, greens, and whatever else was for doggy breakfast. Okay, that should keep her busy for a few minutes, Ernie said, successful. He walked over to the side of Grandma and Grandpop's house, grabbed a rusty shovel, then came back to Jeannie and started scooping up crusty piles of dog poop. What I want to know is, what you about to do with that mess? Jeannie asked, pinching and pulling his shorts out of his butt. Mom must not have noticed how much he had grown since the year before when she packed all his old summer clothes. If you put that notebook down, you'll see, Ernie said, holding the shovel out and walking toward the back of the house where all the trees were. When he got close enough to the wood line, he looked over his shoulder. Jeannie shoved the small notebook into his back pocket. You watching? Ernie called out, making sure all eyes were on him. Jeannie hustled over. Yeah. Ernie flashed a sly grin, one that worked perfectly with his dark shades. Then, without giving any kind of warning, he cocked the shovel back and flung it forward. The poop flew into the air and out into the woods, slapping against the trees and exploding. Oh, yeah! Ernie cheered, holding his shovel up as if he had just scored a touchdown. Jeannie gaped, his mouth falling open as Ernie came back to scoop up more dog crud. You just gonna stand there or you gonna get in on this? Ernie asked, chin pointing to the other shovel leaning against the side of the house. No way was Jeannie gonna miss out on slinging poop. On poopidity? No way. How often does anybody get to catapult doo-doo into a forest? Never. Jeannie ran and grabbed the other shovel. Get this one, Ernie said, stabbing at a gross mound, still stinky. Jeannie grimaced, but he slid the shovel under the poop, grimaced again at the scratchy sound of metal on dirt, then lifted it and followed Ernie back to the tree line. Go for it, Ernie said, nodding. Jeannie put one foot forward, holding the shovel as if it were a baseball bat, and he was about to attempt the worst bunt in history. He whipped the shovel forward, but not nearly hard enough. The poop plopped down only about a foot away. It was a pretty sad throw, and it was way too close to being a situation where poop was splattered all over Jeannie's Converses. Yeah, they were already covered in dust, but dust is one thing. Even mud he could handle. But dog poop? There's no coming back from that. You gotta fling it, Jeannie. Fling it, Ernie demonstrated with a few ghost flings. You see that tree over there? Jeannie looked out at all the trees in front of them and wondered which one Ernie was talking about. It was pretty much a forest. Trees were everywhere, and Ernie wasn't really pointing at anyone in particular. He just said, "That tree over there," as if one of the trees had been marked with a sign that said, "This tree, dummy." But Ernie was always on him about asking too many questions, so Jeannie just nodded. "Watch and learn, young grasshopper." Ernie held the shovel low, letting it hang behind him before hurling its contents into the woods. It splat against the tree. Perfect shot. It must have been the one Ernie was aiming for, because he threw his hands up in celebration again. "Bang, bang, got it," he howled. "Now, try again." Jeannie picked up another clump, questions flying all over the place like those flies on the pupidity. Why was there so much of it in the first place? Did nobody else care that there was mess all over the yard? When was the last time the yard had been poop scooped? Jeannie tried to mimic Ernie's every move. He held the shovel low and let it drop back behind him a little so that he could get some good momentum. We're talking technique here. Sophisticated stuff. "Aim for that old house back there," Ernie said, pointing into the woods. Jeannie focused and counted off. 1, 2, and on 3, he swung his whole body, a kind of broke-down golf swing, the mess whipping from the shovel head. Jeannie definitely got some air on it this time, but he hadn't quite figured out how to aim it. Ernie left that part out. The poop zipped off behind him, slamming into a window in the back of the house. The wrong house. His grandparents' house. "Jeannie," Ernie shouted, his eyes bugging. And right after that came Grandma. "Jeannie," she called out. "Ernie, what in Sam Hill are y'all doing?" Grandma was the one who put Ernie and Jeannie on poop patrol in the first place, in case you were wondering. Neither one of them had ever had to shovel poop out of anybody's yard before, because first of all, in Brooklyn, most people don't have yards. And secondly, most Brooklyn folks just pick it up with plastic baggies whenever a dog does his due on the sidewalk. Not everybody, but the majority. But there were no sidewalks here in North Hill, Virginia. No brownstones with the cement stoops where you could watch the buses, ice cream trucks, and taxis ride by. Nope. North Hill, Virginia was country. Like country country. And Jeannie and Ernie were staying there in a small white house on the top of a hill. Grandma and Grandpa's house. For a month. Like 30 whole days. The boys had arrived 2 nights earlier after a long, cramped ride in the back of their dad's old Honda. Cramped at least for Jeannie, because Ernie, in a cheeseburger coma, had stretched out on the back seat as if it were his own personal couch, forcing Jeannie to be smushed against the window for most of the trip. Jeannie had thought about playing Pete and Repeat by mimicking Ernie's nasty snores, but then he realized it wouldn't matter because Ernie wasn't awake to get annoyed by it anyway. And that was the whole point of the game. So to take his mind off the discomfort of being trapped under Ernie's leg, stewing in the thick silence between his folks, who had managed to not talk to each other for the past 4 hours, Jeannie flipped through pages of his notebook, where he kept his best questions. Some had already been answered, and some were still mysteries. He landed on one that he had totally forgotten about. Number 389. Do honey badgers eat honey? Then he tried telling his parents about how he'd read on the internet that honey badgers actually do eat honey, and how many of them have been stung to death by bees because they wanted honey from the hive so bad. The toughest, craziest animal ever. They're like weasels or something, but tougher, know what I'm saying? Like, they're small, but they ain't scared to get busy, even on lions, Jeannie had rambled. The fact that his parents had neither asked him about honey badgers or even knew why he cared about them in the first place never stopped him from offering up random info at random times. That was sort of his thing. He was different from Ernie in that way. Jeannie was the kind of kid who kept a small, jacked-up notebook and pen in his pocket just so that he could jot down interesting things whenever they came. The point was to keep a list, a numbered list, of all the things he needed to Google. Because to Jeannie, the more questions you had, the more answers you could find. And the more answers you found, the more you knew. And the more you knew, the less you made mistakes. Jeannie wasn't about mistakes. Ernie, on the other hand, was the kind of kid who wore sunglasses 24/7 just to make sure everybody knew he was cool. And to him, the biggest mistake anyone could make was not to be. That and not being able to defend yourself. As a matter of fact, one of the only times Ernie didn't wear his shades was whenever he was doing karate, which he had been learning since he was 7. He was a brown belt, or, as he put it, a junior black belt. Jeannie loved to watch Ernie's matches and tournaments, but not quite as much as he loved to watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. Ernie, on the other hand, liked to watch girls. Jeannie liked to build model cars. Ernie liked to watch girls.
Boy, if you don't go to sleep, I'ma honey your badger.
Ma had droned from the front seat after Jeannie finished telling her about the video he'd seen of a honey badger actually taking on a lion. She was staring out the window and had been the entire time they'd been on the road. Jeannie sucked his teeth. That was when Dad adjusted the rearview mirror so that he could see Jeannie.
Son, tell me something.
He darted his exhausted-looking eyes from the rearview back to the road.
How much you know about sloths?
Sloths? Jeannie thought for a moment.
Well, I know they're lazy, and they sleep all the time, he answered reluctantly, feeling the setup coming.
Uh-huh,
Dad said flat. He glanced back in the mirror.
See where I'm going with this?
Jeannie sucked his teeth again. He knew exactly where Dad was going with it. Straight to Jeannie, please be quiet and go to sleep town. But Jeannie didn't go straight to sleep, even though that was what his parents wanted. Instead, he stared out the window, like Ma, for about an hour, peering into the darkness, thinking about his girlfriend Shelley and his best friend Aaron. He wondered if they were going to do all the things they always did in the summer, like play in the hydrant and buy rocket pops from the ice cream man without him. If they were going to miss his rants and all his knowledge about random animals and insects, and if Shelley would be able to spot a bed bug like he had taught her. He wondered if Aaron would try to impress Shelley with his backflips. Girls love dudes who can do backflips. And if she'd eventually fold to his flipping charm and kiss him. Of course, if she did, it would be a loner kiss, Jeannie decided. A kiss to make up for the fact that he wasn't there. Nothing real. Jeannie sat there thinking about all these things, annoyed by his brother snoring, listening to his parents not say a word, totally unsure about what was going to happen when they finally got to Virginia. The only thing he did know for sure was why they were going to the country in the first place. Why he and Ernie had to spend a whole month away from Brooklyn for the first time ever. It all had to do with Jamaica. Well, really it all had to do with his parents not saying a word. They were having problems, which Jeannie knew was just parent talk for maybe, possibly, probably divorcing. They said they needed some time to try to figure it all out. When his mother first told him about the problems, all Jeannie could think about was what his friend Marche Brown told him when her parents got divorced and how she never saw her father again. When he asked his mother about whether he was going to have to choose which parent he wanted to live with or if he and Ernie were going to have to split up too, all she said was, "No matter what, me and your daddy love you both, always." But that didn't really answer the question, which made it clear in Jeannie's mind that figuring it out, which, by the way, was supposed to happen in Jamaica, the first vacation his parents were taking without him and Ernie, really meant figuring out which parent got which kid, which, of course, meant this would probably also be the last vacation his parents would be taking without them. And it got Jeannie thinking about who he'd want to live with, Ma or Dad, which led him to scribbling a list in the dark. Really, two lists. Number 439. Living with Dad. Pro. I'd be safe from fires and thieves. Con. Dad works all the time and is never home. Con. So I probably wouldn't be safe from fires and thieves. Pro. I could watch scary movies. Con. Dad can't cook. Con. Dad stinks almost all the time because of work. Living with Ma. Pro. She can cook. Real good. Pro. She never, ever stinks. Con. She won't let me watch scary movies. Con. I don't know if she can protect me from fire and thieves. Con. Which means I'd have to protect her, and I don't know karate. Eventually, after going back and forth in his mind about who he'd want to live with and messily jotting his thoughts in the notebook, the smooth, dark road hypnotized Jeannie, finally coaxing him to sleep. He hadn't even realized he had drifted off until he was awakened by the sound of tree limbs scraping the sides of the car. The Honda was bumping its way up a hill, and the limbs looked like long fingers on big stick hands trying to get in and grab him. It was still dark. Dad had his window cracked, letting some air in, and he had changed the music from slow jams to 90s hip-hop.
"We here?"
Jeannie muttered, wiping sleep from his eyes. He looked out the window but couldn't see anything except branches.
The car dipped and bucked every few seconds as Dad kept slamming on the brakes to avoid potholes.
Jesus, this road is a mess,
he fumed, turning the radio off so he could concentrate. Genie quickly patted the space beside him on the seat, searching for his pen. Once he found it, he flipped to the next page of his notebook. Number 440. Does turning the radio off help you drive better? He scrawled as Ma turned to him and flashed a sleepy smile. Yes, honey, we're here. The skin on her face looked heavy, and Genie wondered if she had slept at all during the ride. Actually, the skin on her face had been looking heavy for a few months, since her and Dad had the big blow-up where she screamed, like, screamed, and told him that all his time went to working the boys, but he could never seem to make time for her. Ernie and Genie had been outside having a snowball fight, and down the street Donnie, known for being a jerk, had covered a quarter in snow and zinged it at Genie. Zapped him straight in the eye. Ernie had run over to check on him, and when he saw the coin, most of the snow knocked off, he commenced to karate-sizing down the street Donnie, all the way down the street. Meanwhile, Genie had run inside, his palm to his eye, and stepped right into Ma and Dad's crossfire over how she was feeling neglected. The swelling around Genie's eye eventually went away, but the heavy on Ma's face never did. Anyway, the point was, Genie hoped Ma had gotten some sleep on the way to Virginia because the one thing he thought he knew about Virginia, he was right about. It was far, way too far to be awake the whole time. Ernie, on the other hand, had slept the entire trip, was still asleep, his mouth hanging wide open in that way that made the bottom half of his face look like it was melting, his sunglasses lopsided, only covering one eye. Genie pushed Ernie's leg off him, but it snapped right back up to its place on Genie's lap as if it were spring-loaded. Ern, wake up, Genie said, jamming his finger into Ernie's thigh. We here. Ernie didn't budge. Ern, Genie cried out, loud enough for Ma to hear. She turned around and slapped Ernie's leg. He snapped awake, confused, fixing his shades and wiping spit off his chin with the bottom of his t-shirt. As the car approached the top of the hill, the sound of a dog barking came out of nowhere. Genie pressed his face against the window. Was that Grandma and Grandpop's dog? What was it doing outside? Did they know it had gotten loose? Was Grandpop up this time of the night walking it? Ernie, you remember Samantha? Dad asked, cutting the engine a minute after cresting the hill. Ernie craned his neck to see out the window, yawning. He had been to North Hill once before, a long time ago when he was 4. Genie hadn't come with him because at the time he was still a baby. That was also the last time Dad had seen his father. It had been almost 10 years, and Genie had no idea what that was about. So this was Genie's first time to North Hill. As a matter of fact, this was his first time really going out of town at all. He had been to New Jersey, but that didn't really count. It took longer to get to his grandparents' house, his mom's parents, who lived in the Bronx, than it did to get to Jersey. Genie had never met Dad's dad, his grandfather, but he had met his grandmother once. She had come to New York to visit when he was much younger, but he didn't remember too much about her except for the fact that she looked like Dad, an old lady version of him, minus the mustache and the beard. And she smelled like soap. Genie remembered that.
Of course I remember Samantha, Ernie grumbled, his voice groggy from car sleep.
He finally moved his leg and sat up. Genie could hear a dog chain dragging against the ground, then popping when the slack was up. He wasn't usually scared of dogs, and he wasn't really, really scared of this one either, but it was definitely comforting and weird to know that this Samantha dog was chained up outside in the dark. Dogs left outside in Brooklyn ended up in the pound.
We made it! Everybody out! Dad said.
And by the time all the car doors had opened and Dad had popped the trunk, a light outside the house flickered on. The front door opened and a shapeless shadow filled the doorway like some kind of ghost. The dog, the trees, the little house all alone on the top of a hill. This, Genie thought, was definitely the makings of a scary movie. A kind of scratchy but firm voice called out.
Sam, stop all that darn yapping!
It was the same kind of scratchy, firm voice that Genie recognized from all those 3-minute, twice-a-month phone calls that were always about how he was doing in school and if he was taking care of his brother and his mother, which always confused him because he was the youngest person in the family. Grandma's voice. Now Grandma stepped onto the porch and closed the screen door behind her. It was a darker shade of dark outside than Genie was used to, but he could still make out the flowers on Grandma's long nightdress. Dad nodded to Jeannie and Ernie to get moving and led the way, lugging the family suitcase to the top step of the porch. He set it down and wrapped his arms around the old lady tight. Hey, Mama.
Lord, she said, kissing him on the cheek, then reached out for Ma. Took y'all forever to get here.
You know how your son is, Ma said, giving Grandma a quicker hug, then swinging around to make sure Jeannie and Ernie were right behind her. 5 miles over the speed limit is against the daggone law. Ma shook her head like she was annoyed at Dad, a look Jeannie saw all the time at home. But Jeannie didn't really understand it this time because, well, 5 miles over the speed limit was against the law. Jeannie let his mother take his hand as she pulled him forward. Ernie hung back.
Well, you can blame me for that one, sugar. I'm the safe one in the family, Grandma said. Now come on in, come on in. Let me look at y'all, she continued, excited as she opened the door wide. Right this way.
Inside the house was just as dark as outside, until Grandma finally flipped the switch. A dim, yellowy light came on that made everything look like a smartphone picture with a vintage filter on it. They were in an old kitchen with peeling sea-green wallpaper, a school bus yellow fridge buzzing as loud as a laundromat washer. Grandma's face was slightly wrinkled, but still looked like Dad's around the eyes. That was all Jeannie could see of her, her face, because everything else was covered up by the flowered gown that looked more like a bedsheet with a hole cut out for her head to go through than an actual nightdress.
Line up and let me see,
Grandma directed as they shuffled around on the plasticky floor.
That city's beating on you, ain't it?
She said, sizing up Dad first.
Mama, I've been up since 9 yesterday morning, he explained, sounding irritated and tired.
I know, she said, patting him on the belly. At least you eating well up there. Then she turned to Ma.
Thank you for feeding him, dear.
My pleasure, Mama.
And look at you, my sweet daughter-in-law,
Grandma said with a little oomph in her voice while checking Ma out head to toe.
2 kids and still look like you in grade school.
Ma bit down on her bottom lip for a second before letting herself smile. A little bit of attention goes a long way, Jeannie noticed. He also thought Grandma was a liar. He had known lots of girls in grade school, and most of them looked way better than Ma as far as he was concerned, especially Shelly.
And look at this cool guy,
Grandma said, moving down the line to Ernie, who, of course, had his sunglasses on.
Ernie!
Ma barked between clenched teeth. Ernie snatched the sunglasses off quick.
Oh, it's okay. How are you, Ernie?
Grandma said, giving him a kiss on the cheek.
Fine, Ernie muttered, Ma's mad eyeballs all over him. And check out this one here, getting so big.
Grandma finished up, putting her hand on Jeannie's head.
You remember me, Jeannie?
She wrapped her arms around him. He could smell the soap, the same soap he remembered her by. The same kind his mother used. After the lineup, Grandma herded them up a set of stairs, Ernie, Jeannie, Ma, and Dad, all in one room with 2 big old beds. Ma and Dad conked out quick, no surprise since they had been driving all night. Ernie fell asleep right after them because, well, he just never had a problem sleeping. It didn't matter if it was in a car or in a strange house, Ernie was gonna find a way to catch Z's, but not Jeannie. He couldn't get comfortable. He wasn't in his bed, or his house, or even his city. He just lay still in the dark on a mattress that stank of sad old socks. A mattress so thin he could feel the springs in his back, like lying on a bed of fists. And to make it even weirder, it was crazy quiet. No police sirens, no loud music, no couples arguing outside his window on the street, no hungry cats whose meows, for some reason, always sounded like babies crying. Only sound besides Ernie snoring was about 1 million crickets and 1 million frogs playing Pete and repeat with the crickets. No way was he gonna ever get to sleep. No way. When morning came, along with the brightest sunlight ever and the smell of eggs and bacon coming through the cracks in the wooden floor mixed with the smell of Ernie's big toe, which was way too close to Jeannie's nose, Jeannie woke up. So he must have fallen asleep after all. Ma was already up. The bed she and Dad had slept in already made as if they had never been in it, and the end of a colorful blanket was tightly trapped between Ma's chin and chest as she folded the bottom. She taught Jeannie how to fold like that at home. He still hadn't gotten it down, but she was a master.
Good morning, she sing-songed, making one more fold, then setting the blanket on the edge of the bed, a perfect rectangle. Sleep okay?
Jeannie, noticing the bags under his mother's eyes, wanted to ask her the same question, but instead just nodded and slipped out from under Ernie's leg. He thought Ernie was asleep, but then he felt his brother shaking from giggling.
Hey, Jeannie, what my toes smell like?
Ernie busted out laughing from beneath the covers.
Smell like your butt!
Jeannie! Ma snapped. He sat up just as Ernie tried to shove him off the bed with his knee.
Stop! Jeannie said, pushing back, trying not to fall.
Ernie, cut it out! It's too early for this, Ma warned.
What? I'm just playing with him.
Ernie reached for his sunglasses, which he had set carefully on the floor beside the bed the night before. Ma gave him the don't you dare look.
Come on, Ma, it's stupid bright in here,
he protested, sliding the shades on, cool. The windows didn't have curtains or blinds, so the sun just poured in. It bounced off the wood floor and the yellowy walls, making the entire room seem orange. Almost seemed like they were on the inside of the sun. The room was crammed full with things. Old things, like posters of basketball players and crazy-looking wedgie shorts. A faded calendar on the wall from 1985, Back to the Future themed. A dresser with navy blue paint peeling off like the skin on someone's nose after they'd been in the sun too long. There were also some medals and ribbons there, a folded-up flag, and a small red truck, an old-school fire engine, on top of the dresser. Jeannie hopped off the bed for a better look.
Watch for splinters, son,
his mother warned as he walked over the gapped wooden slats to the dresser. The red truck, he realized, was a model, and the details, the ladder, the side mirrors, perfect. Even better than he could... Dang! He left his models back home, and Ma had just bought him two new ones, especially for this trip.
Double dang!
He just reached out to pick up the red truck when Grandma yelled from downstairs,
Rise and shine, babies! Breakfast is ready!
The boys and their mother followed the smell of food down the shaky wooden steps to the kitchen doorway. Grandma was standing over the stove, flipping bacon with a fork. The grease popped every time she poked the bacon, but she never flinched. An old man, Grandpop, sat at the round kitchen table. He had on a white dress shirt with sleeves rolled up and, like Ernie, dark sunglasses. His face had that look old men get when they shaved the day before and the beard was just starting to grow back, white specks of dust all over his cheeks.
Come in here and say hi to your grandfather,
Grandma said, setting the fork on the counter and stirring something in a copper pot. She nodded to Jeannie, then at the empty chair to the right of the old man for Jeannie to sit in. Ernie sat in the one across from him. Ma sat next to Ernie, completing the circle. Ernie spoke first.
Hi, Grandpop.
Ernie, the almost birthday boy,
Grandpop grinned, holding out a huge hand.
Been a month of Sundays, son. Long time no see.
Jeannie wasn't sure what a month of Sundays meant, but figured Ernie must have known because he reached a hand out and gave Grandpop a five. That voice. Jeannie recognized it, too. Also from the phone calls. Grandpop was the one who would always ask if Jeannie was taking care of his father, which made it seem to Jeannie that his grandparents expected him to take care of everybody. Ernie nudged Jeannie, urging him to speak.
Hi, Jeannie said softly.
Jeannie,
Grandpop put his hand out again.
Nice to finally meet you.
Jeannie went to give him five, but Grandpop caught his hand, clamped down on it like a mouse trap on a mouse, and shook it hard and tight, tight enough to make one of Jeannie's eyes close up, tight enough to almost make him ask,
What's your problem?
The first one is always like this. Grandpa leaned in close enough for Jeannie to smell him, a mix of sweet and sweat, and lowered his voice to almost a whisper.
But now that we know each other, all the rest will be fives.
Then he grinned big. His teeth were like Dad's and Ernie's. Perfect. White. Speaking of Dad, Jeannie wondered where he was and when he was going to show up and maybe save him from this white-toothed crazy man. With Grandpop still clutching his hand, Jeannie peered around, looking for his father.
Leave that boy alone, Brooke,
Grandma said, slapping the old man on the shoulder, setting a plate full of breakfast food in front of him. Grandpop released his grip and Jeannie, happy to finally have his hand back, massaged his fingers. Grandma must have noticed Jeannie's nervousness because she asked,
Who you looking for, your daddy? He outside. Be back in a second.
She kissed Grandpop on the cheek, then dodged him as he swatted at her butt on her way back to the counter for another plate. Her silver hair was wound into a bun on top of her head, and her flowered nightdress was much prettier in the daytime. So was she. The next plate was Jeannie's. Eggs, bacon, toast, and some globby white stuff that must have come from that pot Grandma had been stirring. Looked like movie prison food.
Grandma beamed. Hope you boys like grits.
Ma laughed. They don't know what grits are, Mama Harris, but they gonna try some today.
Genie stuck his fork into the white slime and hoped it didn't taste like peas. Peas were the one thing he hated to eat more than anything. This stuff wasn't green, so that was a good sign. He let the gritty goo slip between the tines of the fork and plop back down onto his plate. He looked at his brother. Ernie seemed just as worried, but lifted the fork straight to his mouth and tasted it anyway. Ernie was brave like that. He made a face like the white stuff, the grits, was good. So Genie tried it too.
Tastes like sand, Genie blurted,
not quite wanting to spit it out, but not wanting to swallow it either. He just wanted to let it sit there in his mouth until it dissolved.
Genie!
Ma hated when he said stuff like that. At the same time, she was always after him to tell the truth. And the truth was, to him, the grits tasted like he was eating sand.
Sand? Grandpop said, looking amused. Well, I got something for that.
He pushed his chair back just as Grandma finally sat down and went over to the counter where there were three coffee cans. Popping the top off the middle one, he stuck his fingers in it, then closed it back up. He returned to the table and sprinkled something on top of the grits.
Try now. What was that? Genie asked, worried. Magic dust.
Grandpop grinned, a little less creepy this time, and sat back down.
Try it.
Genie picked his fork up and touched it to his tongue, just enough to taste.
Sugar!
And yeah, now the grits were so much better. Grandma was looking intently at Genie, her head tilted like she was trying to figure something out.
You know who else didn't like grits unless they had sugar on them? She asked.
Uh-huh. Wood,
Grandpa said. He'd been stabbing his eggs with his fork, but stopped suddenly, as if eating was getting in the way of thinking.
Wow, that's something, ain't it?
Uncle Wood?
Genie piped in.
Eat your breakfast, his mother commanded.
Your grandfather got it all sugared up for you.
Please don't have my son's teeth rotten by the end of the summer,
a new voice in the room. Dad's. He appeared out of nowhere. Walking over to the table, he kissed Genie on the forehead, then Ernie, then Grandma. He leaned in and just grazed Ma's cheek with his lips, awkwardly. It was friendly, but not loving. But it was better than what Grandpop got, which was no kiss at all.
Your plate's on the counter, but wash your hands before you eat,
Grandma said, low as if Dad was still a little boy. Been out there fooling with that dirty dog.
What you talking about, rotten teeth?
Grandpop said on top of Grandma telling Dad to wash up.
Please, you ate more sugar than any kid in history, and you still got pearly whites, don't you? Just one cavity in your entire life.
Dad didn't respond, just rinsed his hands in the kitchen sink. Grandpop started to pile his eggs on his toast, grits on top of that, topping it all with a slice of bacon. Ma glanced at Dad uneasily while taking in a spoonful of grits herself. Ernie, after watching Grandpop construct his breakfast tower, did the same thing. Pete and repeat. That made Genie wonder if maybe Ernie got the idea of wearing sunglasses in the house from Grandpop, too. Dad dried his hands on a towel hanging from the oven door and stayed standing. There weren't enough chairs at the small table, but it didn't seem like he wanted to sit anyway. When Grandpop offered Dad his seat, Dad refused and ate at the counter.
So, Mama, he said, why don't you let me put some money into fixing up this place? The floor upstairs is all warped, and the planks must have shrunk. They're all spaced out. I can see straight through to the living room.
Don't need no fixing, son,
Grandpop answered before Grandma could get a word out.
My blood and sweat is in this house, built it with my own two hands. It's just getting old, just like me, but it's still standing, just like me.
Grandpop lifted the breakfast tower to his mouth and smirked.
And just like you.
Dad rolled his eyes and Grandma chimed in.
Ernest, that's sweet, but you saved that money for these boys. And Jamaica, okay? You fly out in, what, 2 weeks, right?
Yep, and I'm so grateful that you could take the boys for so long. This was the only time we could get them down here, especially with Ernest having to pick up extra shifts so he could take off 2 whole weeks,
Ma was saying, apologetically when Grandma waved her apology away, her eyes bright.
Oh, baby, it's no problem. Happy to have them, she insisted.
Dad just bit down on his bottom lip and glared at his father before turning back to his food. Genie, however, was fixated on Grandpop. On his face, specifically his shades. Every few bites, Genie would look up and see his own reflection in the sunglasses. Then he would look back down at his plate, embarrassed for staring. But he just couldn't help it.
What is it, Genie?
Grandpop asked at last. Tower demolished, plate clean. He took a slurp of his coffee from a white mug that said in black letters, Virginia is for lovers. Hearts replacing all the V's.
Huh? What is it? You keep staring at me. I told you, we know each other now. After that handshake, so that means you can tell me anything.
He took another slurp, swallowed.
So spill.
Now everyone was staring at Jeannie, except for Ernie, who was too busy trying to pile everything left on his plate on the last piece of toast. Ma nodded, which meant it was okay for Jeannie to say whatever it was he wanted to say. He started nervous.
Well, it's just that...
Jeannie looked at his mother one more time, just to make sure. She nodded again.
It's just that Ma always says you shouldn't wear sunglasses in the house. She says it makes your eyes go bad. Plus, it makes you look crazy.
His mother dropped her fork. His father snorted.
Papa Harris, I'm...
She started immediately apologizing, but Grandpop cut her off.
Well, he started. Your mom is a smart woman, but for me, it's different.
He wiped his mouth with a napkin, then balled it up and dropped it on the table.
Want to know why?
Why?
Jeannie asked. Grandpop leaned in close again, this time enough for Jeannie to get a whiff of the coffee on his breath.
Because I already can't see a thing, and I've been crazy for years.
2. Number 441. What made Grandpop blind? I bet it was the bright sun that almost blinded me and Ernie this morning. What does blindness feel like? And is it just blackness? Is it like being asleep but awake, like sleepwalking? Is Grandpop just sleepwalking and sleep talking and sleep eating? And if he's really awake, is he always sleepy? I heard if you put a blanket over a bird's cage and they can't tell it's daytime anymore, they'll just go to sleep.
Why you ain't tell me he couldn't see?
Jeannie asked as his mother zip-closed the little pouch she kept her toothpaste, toothbrush, and lotion in. He had taken the red truck off the old blue dresser and was sitting on the floor, running his thumb over the wheels. Next to him, of course, was his handy notebook. He had lots of questions, but the most important one he had just asked.
Why you ain't tell me he couldn't see?
And that was a question that needed to be asked out loud.
Your grandpop is a tricky man, baby,
Mom began to explain. But then she got hung up and didn't seem to know what else to say, so she looked at Dad.
Senior?
She groused, snapping Dad out of his trance. Senior was what she called him because his name was Ernie, too, and she wanted to make sure that whichever Ernie she was yelling at any given moment would know she was yelling at him, and not the other.
Yes,
Dad stammered, still sort of zoned out.
You all right?
She asked.
Yeah, what's up?
Ma cocked her head to the side.
Would you explain to our youngest son here why we didn't tell him about Grandpop?
Dad looked at Jeannie and sighed.
Well, he's kind of a wild guy, Jeannie.
Not wild, Jeannie, Ma interrupted. Just, interesting.
Right, Dad agreed quickly. We weren't trying to keep anything from you. It's just that he made me promise a long time ago never to tell anyone he was blind. No one. Not even you two. It's something he likes to do himself after he's met the person. That way, they don't just come into his house thinking of him as, well, handicapped.
Disabled, Ma corrected him.
Yes, I mean disabled. That's the one thing he hates the most. Dad slid over to the corner of his bed, close to Jeannie.
Grandpop doesn't like for, you know, people to help.
Jeannie drew his knees up. His legs were starting to go numb, and Dad noticed the red truck in his hand.
Be careful with that, son,
he said, holding out his hand for the truck.
Wood made this, and it's the only thing from his childhood Grandma has left. It means the world to her.
Dad peered at the truck as if he could see Uncle Wood sitting in the driver's seat. It clearly meant something to him as well.
Forgot Wood was a model guy, just like you, he shook his head. Crazy.
He gave the truck back to Jeannie, who couldn't help but think about what other things he and Uncle Wood might have had in common. But Dad had brought him back to the topic at hand.
Anyway, about your grandfather. Ernie got a heck of a surprise, too, when he visited the first time.
Dad looked to Ernie, who lay sprawled on the other bed, clicking away on his phone.
What you doing, Ernie?
Trying to send this text, but it won't go through.
Ernie stared at the screen in disgust. He had broken up with his girlfriend, Keisha, a few weeks before.
Well, really, she broke up with him. Dumped him for a dude from Flatbush named Dante, but everybody called him Two Train. That was his rap name. And when Keisha told Ernie that Two Train wrote raps about her, Ernie started sending her a text message every day,
crappy love poems, ridiculous attempts at rhyming that would put his whole cool thing at risk if anybody besides her, Jeannie, or his parents ever found out about them. Dad laughed. Text? Don't bother. No service out here, son. And no computer, Ma followed. Ernie finally looked up, an insane expression on his face. No service? No computer? This was bad news. Bad news! And not just for Ernie, but for Jeannie, too. How was he gonna look stuff up now? He'd added at least 16 new questions to his notebook since breakfast, mostly about being blind. Now what was he gonna do? So you might as well put that thing down and let her go, Ma advised. She wasn't good enough for you anyway. Good luck with two trains, sweetheart. Ma swatted the air, shooing the memory of Ernie's ex-girlfriend away. What kind of rap name is Two Train anyway? Dad reeled the conversation back in again. Not important. Ernie, tell your little brother about how it went down when you first met Grandpop. He grinned. And his was way worse than yours, Jeannie. Ernie tossed his phone onto the bed, looking ticked. I don't even remember it. Y'all just say this is what happened. Because it did happen. But I was 4. I know. Dad was clearly getting annoyed by all of Ernie's back talk. Forget it. I'll tell him. See, Jeannie, Ernie was acting a fool just like he is now. Ernie sucked his teeth. So I told him if he could just stay quiet. Play the quiet game, Ma clarified. Be a sloth, Jeannie tossed in the pot. Right. If he could play the quiet game for 20 minutes, I would take him to McDonald's. French fry bribery. That was how their parents always used to make deals with them. So Ernie's on the floor, sloth silent, and I'm talking to your grandma. Grandpop was in the bathroom. Next thing I know, the old man came out to join us and tripped over your brother. Grandpop fell right on his face, Ma added, putting stacks of Jeannie's and Ernie's clothes, an entire month's worth, in the drawers of the blue dresser. Ernie's in the middle drawer, Jeannie's in the bottom. The top drawer was reserved for random items, handheld pencil sharpeners, school glue, masking tape, abnormally small screwdrivers, things like that. I thought we killed him, she blurted. But nobody worried about me, Ernie added. Of course we did, Ernie, but you were okay. Nothing could damage that big head, Dad said with a laugh and threw a balled up pair of socks at him. Ernie chopped them away. You remember what Grandpop said after he fell? Ernie sat up. Didn't he say something about me winning the McDonald's? Yeah. He said that you deserve a week's worth of McDonald's because you were so quiet a blind man couldn't even hear you, Dad finished. And that's how your grandfather told Ernie he was blind. Right there on the floor with a bloody lip. I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's how he likes to do it. It's just his way. Jeannie glanced at Ernie with his toughest face, the one where he tightened his eyes. And you didn't tell me? It's your grandpop's rules, Dad reiterated. And trust me, I learned from a young age not to break my daddy's rules. So we made Ernie promise not to tell you. Plus, we just didn't want you to be all worried about staying here. Jeannie had to give it to his parents. They knew him well. He had worry issues. And y'all still owe me some nuggets or fries or something for that, but I'll take $10 instead, Ernie said now. Dad shot him a look, then noticed all the this ain't cool on Jeannie's face. Because 5 minutes ago, Jeannie hadn't been worried about staying. But now... I promise you're okay here, Jeannie. You really think me and your mom would leave you here if we didn't think you were gonna be fine? Dad palmed his knees. Plus, the old man ain't bad for being blind. He can do just about everything. He stood up and stretched his arms over his head, leaning to the left, then to the right, working the stiff out his back. He can't drive a car, Jeannie said sharply, flipping the toy truck in his palm. Well, Dad paused as he brought his arms down and waved a finger at Jeannie. Careful with that. I'm serious. He can't drive a car, Jeannie repeated, setting the truck down gently on the floor. His father shoved his hands in his pockets. I guess you're right about that. He can't. Dad glanced at Ma, who just shrugged. So then he can't do everything. Jeannie had proven his point. When she finished unpacking their clothes, Ma told the boys to put the suitcase back in the car, which really meant leave grown folks to grown folks' business. As soon as they got outside, Samantha started barking like crazy. They both jumped a mile. Chill, Samantha, Ernie said, playing it off, trying to pretend like he didn't jump. Jeannie had seen him, but let him slide anyway. Ernie popped the trunk and threw the suitcase in with all the other junk their father kept back there. Spare tire, jumper cables, tools, a blanket. Dad's emergency kit that he never used because they never drove anywhere at home. Samantha kept on barking and jumping, the chain around her neck slapping dust into the air. She sounded like Dad's Honda whenever the engine froze up in the winter. Ernie headed straight for the dog. Jeannie held back. There were tons of dogs in their neighborhood back home. Had to be at least 10 just on their block. And we're not talking little cutesy-wootsy yip-yap dogs. We're talking big dogs. Dogs that walk down the street like bodybuilders. Thing was, Jeannie knew those dogs. He had grown up with them. But he and this dog, Samantha, were strangers. She was all black except for the patch of white on her face and on each paw. But she had a pink nose. When Jeannie had asked Dad what kind of dog Samantha was, he just said she was a mutt. Grandma liked having her around so she'd know whenever someone was coming in the yard. As Ernie got closer, Samantha stopped barking and just panted, her tongue dangling from her mouth like taffy, spit flying everywhere. Come on, Ernie called to Jeannie. Her tail's wagging. She don't want to hurt us, man. He slowly stretched his arm out until the back of his hand was in front of Samantha's face. Samantha nosed it, sniffed, then settled down, leaving a wet streak across his knuckles. See? He said, scratching behind Samantha's ears. Just gotta let her smell you. Then she'll get comfortable. Bet she remembers me from last time I was here. From all the way back then? Jeannie wondered if a dog's memory could be that good. Now elephants? They remember all their family members. Maybe. Samantha rolled over onto her back and Ernie began rubbing her pink spotted belly. Yeah, but she ain't never met me before, Jeannie said. He took a step closer. The screen door creaked open, and Ma and Dad came out, pausing to hug and kiss Grandma, who was promising that the boys would be fine, not to worry, and to really make the best of their time in Jamaica. Dad said they would. Ma didn't say anything, and to make sure to call as soon as they got back to Brooklyn. Boys, come give me my hugs, Ma said, heading towards them, arms out. Jeannie went first, wrapping himself around her tightly as she rubbed the back of his head. Everything'll be fine, you being here. Me and your father, everything, okay? Jeannie nodded. He wanted to believe her because she was pretty much always right. But this time, he wasn't so sure. Then Ma called Ernie over. You come give me some too, chump, she said. I know you almost 14 and everything, but you ain't too old to hug your mother. Jeannie let go, and Ernie came in for his hug. His wasn't as crazy as Jeannie's, but it was real. Ma hated fake hugs, or pat-pats, as she called them. That's when you just reach your arm around the person and pat them on the back, but you don't squeeze. Real hugs squeeze. Then Ma grabbed Ernie by the face and kissed him on his forehead. He twisted his mouth into a frown. She smiled anyway. Take care of your little brother, got me? Of course, Ernie said. Ma knew him so well, she could tell he rolled his eyes even though he had on his shades. I'm serious, boy, she said with some bass in her voice. Dad came over with his hand out. He gave Jeannie 5, then pulled him close. Then he grabbed Ernie. Y'all take care of each other. Remember, y'all are brothers, understand? Yeah, Ernie said. You too, Dad said, looking at Jeannie. Got me? Got you. Dad explained that he and Ma would be calling to check in, even once they got to Jamaica. Then he told them that he loved them. Then Ma said she did too. And then Grandma said she loved everybody as Dad and Ma got in the car. A straight-up love fest. Samantha barked and barked as the car barked and barked until the engine finally turned over. Dad rolled the windows down and threw a hand up. Ma gazed at them, her eyes wet as the car pulled off. The Honda turned toward the hill, Samantha still barking, trying to chase it but being snapped back by her chain. So Jeannie chased it for her. He ran behind the car for as long as he could until it hit the slope and began bumping down to the bottom. The hill was so steep that from where Jeannie was standing, it looked like his parents had just driven off a cliff. He tipped to the edge and watched the brake lights blinking on and off until they disappeared. 3. The heat out there seemed so much hotter than what Jeannie and Ernie were used to in Brooklyn. Maybe it was that buildings in their neighborhood made shade, cooling down the streets, Jeannie thought. Here, even though there were trees everywhere, they just didn't do the trick when it came to blocking out the sun. I'm telling you, it's hotter here, Jeannie complained, kicking a stick toward Samantha, who sniffed it, then moved away. No, it's not, Ernie said. It's all in your head. In my head? Jeannie lifted his hand in the air. Look, look how much closer we are to the sun up on this hill. I feel like if I get a running start, I can jump up and touch it. Shoot, I wish I could just slap it over there behind them trees. Ernie ignored him and went on playing with Samantha, so Jeannie decided to escape the beating sun and go back inside. Grandma and Grandpop were still in the kitchen. Grandma had just finished drying the breakfast dishes and was putting them back in the cupboard.
I know it's been a long time, but eventually Ernest will work through it. You can't make him forgive you, she was saying as Jeannie entered the room.
Grandma and Grandpop's conversation, grown folks' business, ended right there.
Jeannie, Grandma sang out, have a seat and I'll fix you some iced tea.
She headed for the fridge.
Y'all do drink tea up there in New York, right?
Jeannie nodded and sat in the same seat he'd sat in at breakfast, which he decided was his seat. Grandpop was still sitting exactly where they had left him, in his seat, his hands resting in his lap, listening to the radio. Fuzzy news.
I'll get it, Grandpop said suddenly.
I'll get it,
he repeated, this time softer, pushing away from the table. Grandma stepped out of the way, cocking her head at Grandpop, confused-like.
Okay, well, then, I'm gonna go make sure Samantha hasn't eaten Ernie.
She hasn't, Jeannie assured her. Matter of fact, they're already best friends. Grandma smiled and headed for the door anyway as Grandpop made his way to the refrigerator. Then it hit him. How was Grandpop going to pour tea?
He couldn't even see tea.
I can get it, Jeannie quickly offered. And just like Grandpop had waved Grandma off, he did the same to Jeannie.
Boy!
Grandpop raised his eyebrows well above the top of his sunglasses, letting Jeannie know he was serious about getting the tea himself. He turned to open the refrigerator door, and that's when Jeannie noticed something was sticking up from the back of his pants like a short tail.
Oh my g-.
It was a pistol. The handle of a pistol. Jeannie had never actually seen a gun in real life, just on the cop shows Ma was always watching or in movies, action flicks, sci-fi flicks, and even the scary flicks Jeannie and Ernie weren't supposed to be watching. Jeannie was as curious about that pistol as he was about the honey badger. And like always, it sparked questions, but he didn't have his notebook. Questions to remember. What's a blind man doing with a gun? Why would Grandpop have a gun, period? Jeannie flat out stared, but when Grandpop closed the fridge, a big jug of tea in his hand, Jeannie turned away fast, just in case the old man could somehow see him. It was ridiculous, Jeannie knew. And sure, he was told Grandpop was blind, but he wanted to play it safe. The whole blind thing might have been a bluff, a theory that seemed a lot less silly after what happened next. Slices of lemon sloshed from side to side in the jug like little yellow lily pads in a brown lake as Grandpop reached into a cabinet and grabbed a glass jar, an empty one, first try. Running his hand along the mouth of the jar, he started pouring the tea in. Perfectly. Jeannie was back in staring mode as Grandpop lifted the jug higher and higher, a waterfall of tea all landing in the quickly filling jar. Just before it reached the very top, he stopped. He put the jug back in the refrigerator and set the jar in front of Jeannie, without spilling a single drop. Then he sat back down like it was no big deal.
Whoa! Go on then, Grandpop said, inching the jar closer.
Jeannie leaned over and slurped from the top. It was so full he knew he'd spill some of it if he tried to pick it up. The ridges felt funny on his mouth, made him feel like he was drinking out of a mayonnaise container. And the tea was sweet. Too sweet. Even though on any day of the week, Jeannie could take down 3 or 4 rocket pops with no problem.
Good? Grandpop asked.
Uh-huh,
Jeannie said, choking the tea down. He didn't want to tell his grandfather that it tasted like liquid sugar. After embarrassing himself at breakfast, Jeannie had come to the conclusion that the truth could sometimes make things weird.
Does it need more sugar? Grandpop asked. You like your grits sweet like Wood used to, so you might like your tea like he liked his too. Sweet.
As if the tea wasn't already a spoonful of sugar away from being syrup.
No, no,
Jeannie eked out, trying his best to swallow another mouthful.
This is fine.
Good,
Grandpop said, leaning back into his chair again. Jeannie wondered if it was uncomfortable for Grandpop to sit with a gun tucked in the back of his waistband, or if he was ever scared about accidentally shooting himself in the butt.
Ouch!
But Grandpop didn't seem bothered by it at all. He turned the radio down.
So let's talk, Little Wood.
He just threw that out there as if the nickname Little Wood was already a thing. Jeannie frowned, but let that slide too. Old people got to pretty much call you whatever they wanted. It was the only awesome part about being old, Jeannie figured.
Your mom said you're a little scared to be here with me, Grandpop now said.
Dang!
Jeannie dipped his head fast,
taking another slurp of the tea, wondering what the heck made his mother tell Grandpop that. He didn't want his grandfather to think anything bad about him, like he was a punk or something.
And that's okay, Grandpop added, to Jeannie's surprise. But you know the best way to get over fear? Confront it.
Jeannie kept slurping. Big, icky, sweet slurps. If he just kept drinking, he wouldn't have to answer.
So confront me.
Jeannie nearly spat the tea out.
What you mean, confront? I don't know. Ask me anything you want to know. Anything. Once you get some answers, you might feel a little better about being here.
Okay, Jeannie said, his mind, however, going completely blank. He wished his notebook weren't upstairs. He'd written so many questions for Grandpop. Questions like, when did you get blind? And did it hurt? Plus, there was the newest question that he'd just come up with, the one tick, tick, ticking in his brain, ready to explode out of his mouth. What's a blind man doing with a gun? Asking questions usually wasn't a hard thing for Jeannie to do because he always had them. Always. Ma and Dad said it was a good thing, but it drove Ernie crazy. Ernie always said Jeannie asked too many questions. Ma said Ernie only said that because he never had enough answers. And now, here Jeannie was, with someone who wanted to hear all his questions, who was asking him for questions, and for some reason he was nervous. Nervous! Grandpop was looking at Jeannie, toward him, expectantly. I can ask anything, Jeannie stalled for time, lifting the jar and taking another sip, trying not to make a face, even though he was pretty sure that Grandpop couldn't see his face. How much sugar was in this stuff? Ma, the sugar police, probably would have flipped if she tasted this.
Shoot.
Okay, Jeannie decided to just go for it. When did you get blind?
20 years ago.
And just like that, the question floodgate opened. Party time.
How? Glaucoma. It's a disease that destroys your vision.
What? You can get a disease that can make you blind?
Jeannie was horrified.
Mental note, look up glaucoma. But what he said was, oh, did it, hurt?
Going blind? Nah. It was like every day would get a little darker and a little darker until one day I woke up and everything was just black.
Were you scared?
Not really.
Why not? I would be.
Don't do no good to be scared. I knew it was coming, and I couldn't stop it, so I just had to deal with it and move on.
The glass had started to sweat and was now dripping on Jeannie's legs. So, you remember what Dad looks like?
Of course. He looks like his mother.
You know what I look like?
Come here, I'll tell you.
Grandpop reached out and palmed Jeannie's cheeks like Ma did tomatoes in the grocery store. He ran his fingers over Jeannie's eyes, nose, and mouth.
You look like your daddy.
Jeannie did look like Dad. Ernie looked like Mom, but was lucky enough to have Dad smile.
How you know that?
Jeannie asked.
Magic.
Please. I'm 11, not 6, Jeannie wanted to say, but instead just kept on with the questions.
How you pour that tea? 'Cause I know where the glass is.
But how you know when to stop?
Because I can hear it. The closer it gets to the top, the deeper the sound.
But how you know when to stop? Grandpop shrugged.
I just guessed.
Dad says you can do a bunch of stuff.
I hear you can too.
But he tells me you can do stuff like cook.
Sure can.
But how? You not scared of burning yourself or burning the whole house down? Jeannie looked at the peeling walls. The sea green color was broken up by segments of white where the paint had flaked off, shaped like continents on a map. Jeannie imagined the wall world burning.
Nope, I just do it. I can feel the heat from the flame. I know where the food is. I know where the pots and pans are. No big deal.
But, well, how you know where everything is?
Because it's been that way since me and your grandma have been married. Pots been in the same place since your daddy was a little boy,
Grandpop explained. But still, you don't never forget, Jeannie went on.
Nope.
Never?
Never.
But what if you do?
I won't.
Grandpop reached in his shirt pocket and pulled out a white handkerchief that wasn't really all that white anymore and patted his forehead. It was definitely hot in the house. Almost as hot as it was outside. Almost as hot as it got in the kitchen at Jeannie and Ernie's house whenever Ma was cooking. But the tea was helping.
and the little drip drops from the glass on Jeannie's legs were helping even more. Next question.
What did Grandma do before she had to take care of you?
She don't take care of me, Grandpop snapped, his voice jumping.